have an identity that you need to learn about. It's vital to your spiritual growth that you understand who you are in Christ. And it, part of the process of understanding who you are in Christ is to learn who you aren't any longer, and or maybe never were either. And that's where we are in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, look at, let me back you all the way up to verse 17. I'll read a section of verses in a minute. But way up in verse 17 where we started last week, we realize that in this portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's making an indictment against the Jews. He really builds them up at first, and then he does an indictment against them. And let me read you that part. It says in verse 17, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, a light to them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doth thou steal? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, doth thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou not commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for thy circumcision verily profiteth thy keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." Now, in verses 17 through 20 there, he builds up the Jews of who they claimed they were, what they called themselves, and what their assignment in this world was, to be a light to the blind and a teacher of babes and all those things. He builds them up on what they call themselves and what they were called to be for God's sake. But then when you get down in verses 21 through 24 there, he indicts them for up to verse 21 through 25. He tells them that they have been a breaker of the law. Yeah, they might have had their boast that they are certain people of God and all, but it's one thing to boast of what you're supposed to be. It's another thing to boast in what you really are. And what they really were is people who broke the law just like the Gentiles, people who caused God's name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. And as a result of that, he says, your circumcision, which was their identifying mark as the people of God, has become uncircumcision, meaning they're just like a Gentile before the eyes of God. Now, when we studied that last week, as we set out to look at that passage, we realized that this is a great change taking place in your Bible. That up until this point in the book of Romans, ever since Genesis 17, where God issued circumcision to Abraham as a sign of the covenant that he and the seed after him have in this world as God's people in the world, that from Genesis 17, actually goes back to Genesis 12 when God called Abraham, all the way up until you come to the book of Romans, that God had been dealing with the nation of Israel. And by the time you come to the book of Romans, Paul is indicting a Jew and taking a Jew from this prestigious place that he had with God and cutting him all the way down equal to a Gentile, which is not a real good thing to be. Gentiles were called dogs. They were called sinners. The very term uncircumcision is a term of uncleanness. And he is taking the Jews and letting them know that they're no better than a Gentile. And ultimately, he'll say in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's been a dispensational change that took place. And last week, we went back in the Bible because this is important. If God has changed the way that he's viewing the world and viewing mankind, we better note that and realize that God's doing something different than what he had been doing for 2,000 years before the book of Romans. And what we did is we went back to the book of Acts and saw at the beginning of the book of Acts, God is still trying to bless Israel. But by the time you finish the book of Acts, you have the Apostle Paul going out among the Gentiles. And the change that took place with Paul's conversion and his ministry out among the Gentiles. Book of Romans is the first book written by the Apostle Paul. And God is doing something different. And that thing that he's doing different is extremely important, because when you get to the passage that we're going to study today, look at verse 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? who by letter and circumcision doth transgress the law. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so what Paul is doing in this final conclusion is he's pointing out to the Jews that you aren't a true Jew. You who have broken the law, you have blasphemed God's name, you who have become uncircumcised, you're no longer a true Jew. So the question that we're going to deal with today is, who is a true Jew? Because there are a lot of people who would come along and realize that Paul has condemned the Jews here, and what they will do is immediately take verses 26 through 29 and try to persuade believing Gentiles that we are now the true Jew of God. And in the process, what they will do then is give you an identity, saying that you are now, once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are the true Jew. And therefore, everything that God promised way back here in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel, they are now your promises. And the calling that God gave the nation of Israel, it is now your calling. And the hope that God gave the nation of Israel, it's now your hope. And if you don't realize who God has made you in Christ, you'll believe that. And you'll think that you are something special and that the orders and the promises that God gave to the nation of Israel, he gave to you, and that's not true. What the Apostle Paul is doing here is he's talking about the Jewish people and showing how the Jewish people have lost their identity as a Jew and have come down to the basis of a Gentile. And in the process of the book of Romans, he's going to show what God has done toward the uncircumcised. For us Gentiles, and what God has made us, what God is doing differently today. He didn't take us and make us a part of what Israel was doing. And what he calls a true Jew, just in short here, in verses 26 through 29, is a Jew who was a Jew not just in flesh, but also a Jew in heart. That out of the nation of Israel, there was some people whose heart was right toward God, who did honor God, who have the recognition of being the people of God, even though the nation as a whole has been cut off from God. And I'd like to show you that. But first of all, you have verses 17 through 20 where Israel had the boast. You remember there was three things that I wanted you to remember about their boast. Look up in verse 17. It says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew." And to be called a Jew meant to be called the praise of God. Judah is the area whose name means praise. And the Jews who eventually lived around Judah where the temple and all was, they took the name, all the Jewish people took the name Jew as a religious statement of themselves, of who they were in the eyes of God. It meant to be called a Jew meant to be the praise of God. And that's what they boasted. We are the praise of God. It says they rested in the law. And the fact is that the law was a covenant relationship that was between them and God. And so they boasted in having this covenant relationship with God that they were the circumcised people of God. And then the other thing is, it says, and makest thy boast of God. That is, they could claim and legally claim, which is true in the Old Testament, that God is the true and living God, Jehovah God, is their God. Other nations had other gods. They worshiped stone. They didn't worship a living God at all. Israel worshiped the true and living God, and Israel was the people of the true and living God. God's people throughout the Old Testament was the nation of Israel. So they boasted of God. We're his, and he is ours. They had that relationship. They rested in the law, a covenant relationship that they had with God, and that they were the praise of God. That's what they boasted. Well, as we study down a little further, when you get down to verse 21, it talks about them not keeping the law that God gave them. That they might have had it, but they didn't keep it. And so it says in verse 23, "Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God." They boasted of the law, but they themselves dishonored God by not keeping the law. And so their boast, their praise, turned into no praise at all. As far as resting in the law, it says in verse 24, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Now hold your place here. Come back with me to Isaiah chapter 52. We just read this in the Sunday school hour. Isaiah 52. The nation of Israel in the Old Testament did not keep God's law, and God had to judge them. He didn't wipe them out totally, but he judged them, and then they came back to the land, and that's when they took on that name Jew rather than just a Hebrew or an Israeli. They took on the name Jew, but when they were judged and taken off the land because of the things that they did, God had to judge them, and in judging them, they were led captive. Here it's into Assyria. It says in verse 5, it says, "Now therefore, when I have, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, the Lord, saith the Lord, and my name is continually, every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I." God is going to restore the nation of Israel for his testimony's sake. Because when Israel broke his law and God had to judge his people, as they were scattered out among the Gentiles would laugh at Israel saying, "Yeah, you got the true and living God? Your God could defeat my God? I don't think so." And so God's name, because of Israel breaking the law and God having to judge them and scatter them out among the Gentiles, God's name end up being blasphemed out among the Gentiles. Ultimately, what Isaiah is saying, and it's all through the prophetic scriptures, ultimately someday God is going to take Israel and save them and make them to be the people he wants them to be for his name's sake, so that it is no longer blasphemed among the Gentiles. And that's important to know, because what people try to do in Romans is try to say, well, God's now, he's done with Israel, he's going to fulfill it in us. And that no way glorifies God's name. God's name will be glorified through the people that he chose to glorify it through in the prophetic program among the nations in the nation of Israel. God will someday save them. And when God miraculously saves the nation of Israel, brings them to the land, and Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and reigns over them, God's name will be praised among the nations. But because of their unfaithfulness, God's name is blasphemed. Well, that's where we are in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 is taking you, Israel, back to the same place they were back in the Old Testament, where God's name is blasphemed. Again, in the New Testament, they failed to be God's people. And God's name is again being blasphemed among the Gentiles because of the nation of Israel. So they broke the law and dishonored God, and so there's no rest, they're scattered. Rome is ruling over them. In fact, the book of Romans, God is now turning to the saints at Rome and writing to them about his grace to Gentiles. But God's name is caused to be blasphemed among the Gentiles, and so they're not the praise of God in this present day. And in Romans chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, "For circumcision verily profit if you keep the law. But if thou break the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." And the whole point was is they broke the law. And therefore, Paul is saying that your circumcision has become uncircumcision. The sign that you were the special people of God is now cut, is to the point that you are no longer the special people of God. Your circumcision is made uncircumcision. And today they are not the boast of God. They cannot brag that they are the special people of God because their circumcision has become uncircumcision. So then it looks like then the Jews have totally failed, in a sense, as a nation, they are cut off today until a future day. But in verse 26, when you pick up there, it says, "Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision?" Now, I want you to understand something, that in this passage, in verses 26 through 29, there is a spiritual lesson here. And that is, if God has cut off Israel because they were only circumcised in the flesh, they didn't have a circumcised heart, which means a heart that's right before God, a heart that's cleansed before God, a heart that shows the relationship that God gave them through the promise of Abraham in their heart. If their heart was not right, he says, if a Gentile in his uncircumcision went back and kept the law, wouldn't God consider him to be the circumcision? And that is true. God is looking for people whose heart is right toward him and whose practice is right toward him. But for you to come to this passage and to say, well, this is what we are now today, that God has made us Gentiles, we are now the circumcision of God. Well, look again at verse 26, and look at that word, if. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law. Is that a hypothetical case as it's, you know, sometimes you can say, if we talked about this at the men's meeting last night, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Well, that's a statement to believers, identifying the fact that you have been seen with, buried with Christ, and died with Christ, buried with Christ, and are alive. You share in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, and that's true of every believer. And it's saying, if you be dead with Christ, then seek those things that are above. And that is, if you be dead, and you are. But then there's other places in the Bible where if is a hypothetical impossibility. And look at that verse there. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law. Did that ever happen? I mean, we just got done studying Romans chapter 1, how us Gentiles were cut off in our sins, and even God's judging our heart is unclean before him. That is an if of impossibility. What he's doing, he's taking the position that Israel had and saying, well, if a Gentile did it, he would be over you. But that's not what it is. There is no one that's kept the law. In fact, if you just look ahead to Romans chapter 3, it says in verse 19, it says, know ye not, now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. There is no Gentiles that walked around keeping the law. Israel failed, but the Gentiles did it. That's a hypothetical case that doesn't exist. But what he's doing, he's taking the Jew and showing them that, look, you think you're someone special, but you're not. And if a Gentile could keep it, he'd be something special, but he can't keep it either. It says in verse 27, back to chapter 2, verse 27, shall not the uncircumcision which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by letter and circumcision transgress the law? Well, yeah. If a Gentile kept the law, he could judge Israel for not keeping the law. But there is no Gentile who's kept the law that's able to judge Israel for not keeping the law. What he's saying is that you Jews are no better than the Gentiles in that you've sinned. It says in verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, when it talks in verse 28, it begins to identify who a true Jew is. A Jew is not one who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Hold your place and come back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. All the time that God was dealing with the nation of Israel, he was teaching them and making them aware that even though they had physical covenant relationship with him, identifying them physically as the people of God, going to a land that God was going to give them, that he was always telling them that he was interested in their heart, not just the physical relationship with them, just an exterior relationship, that God had the heart in mind from the very beginning and warns the nation of Israel that. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, it says in verse 12, it says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, for it is, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Yeah, they had a special relationship with God, and the sign of that special relationship was in their physical circumcision, that they were a spiritual people of God. But he's warning them here that they have this special relationship because of God's promise, because the earth belongs to him. He's going to use them to fill this earth. But he warns them to have a circumcised heart. Circumcision is the cutting away of dead flesh. It's the cutting away of the works of the flesh. Abraham had a son, Ishmael, that he did on his own efforts. And God said, that's not the son that I'm promising, that your promise is going to come down through. After he got circumcised, then God gave him Isaac. And he did it when he was 100 years old, so that Isaac is a sign that this is the seed. This is the promise of God. You don't get the promise of God by your own physical efforts. God gives you the promise as he would by his power, by a gift from him. And so Isaac represents not just a physical circumcision, but a spiritual fulfillment of God's promise. And Israel, they are told right from the beginning, yeah, you're the people of God, the earth says, he's going to give it to you, he's called you out, you have this relationship, circumcise your heart. That is, have a spiritual relationship with him as well as a physical. When you read in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that of the flesh, but he is one who is a Jew inwardly of the Spirit. That is, God, when he looks down among the nation of Israel, even within that nation of Israel, he doesn't look at every physical person as being his people. They had to have a circumcised heart as well. And if they had a circumcised heart, they would keep the commandments that God gave them. They would show up at the ceremonies that God gave them. They would keep the ordinances that God gave them. But they didn't do it just routinely and physically. They did it out of a circumcised heart. And they, when God looks down on Israel, it's not every Jew that he considers a Jew. It's those who had a circumcised heart that he considers a Jew. That's what Romans chapter 2 is telling you. And in fact, it said here, look at Deuteronomy 30. If they got out of line, if God had to judge them, and they did in the Old Testament, and they have in the New Testament, and someday God will ultimately restore them and give them all the blessings that are here in Deuteronomy 30. But look in Deuteronomy 30 and realize that circumcised heart was an issue with God. It says in chapter 30, verse 1, it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou wilt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God and obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, and thy children with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And if any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of the earth, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God. They come back with a repentant attitude, and God's going to do a work in their heart, not just a work in their flesh. They had to come back with a repentant attitude. The Jews in Romans chapter 2 are bragging that they're everything, and Paul says, you're nothing. You're breaking the law, you're blaspheming God's name, and your circumcision has become uncircumcision. They didn't realize God was concerned about the heart, a repentant heart toward them. They didn't have that. So they as a nation are not a true Jew. But there was within the nation of Israel those that God would consider a true Jew. Come back to even to the book of what do I want, Matthew? Oh. Well, come to John chapter 8. I just want to show you that the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to teach the Jewish people that very thing in his ministry. John chapter 8. They're arguing over here that this passage is something. They actually accuse the Lord Jesus Christ as being born not premature, what's the word? as a defiled. What's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, that's not the word I want to use, though. Illegitimate birth. They're bragging and saying that they're of Abraham and that they're not in. Why can't I keep the word in mind? Illegitimate, like the Lord. Now, let me just read the verses. I wasn't going to read them. I was going to say that instead, but I did so bad. Look at verse 38. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. You see what they're doing there? They're saying, they're not identifying who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ saying, if you were the true seed of Abraham, you would know who I am. Abraham was a believing Jew. Abraham wasn't just a Jew in flesh. He's one who had a right heart toward God. These people didn't even recognize their own Messiah when he stood in their midst. And he was there proclaiming the truth and trying, and they were actually blaspheming his name when he's there. Verse 44 says this. It says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. They said, we're Abraham's seed. Jesus Christ said, you're of the father of the devil. Now that's pretty strong language, isn't it? Well, that's because it wasn't just good enough to be a physical seed of Abraham. To be the children of God, they needed to come through Jesus Christ. And the Jews who believed in Jesus Christ, they are the true seed of Abraham. They are what we would call a spiritual Jew. Come back with me to Romans chapter 11 now. That's what Romans chapter 2 is talking about. A true Jew is not just one who's outward, but one who had a believing heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 11, this is where Paul will officially explain the fall of the nation of Israel and God turning to us Gentiles. But in Romans chapter 11, he makes this statement in verse 7. He says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now that is, within the nation of Israel, when Jesus Christ ministered to the nation of Israel, the election has to do with those who believed on him. They became Christ's people. God the Father gave those people to him. Those who would believe on Christ, they become, out of the nation of Israel, the elect. But what happened to all the unbelieving people within the nation of Israel? According to that verse, they're blinded. They are the ones who Romans 2 is saying your circumcision has become uncircumcision. But there is within the nation of Israel a true Jew. There was always a remnant of believing Jews who did believe the truth out of their heart. And had not just a circumcised physical relationship with God, but a circumcised heart identifying them as being the true Jew. I want you to see in this verse that there is, even in Paul's day, a group of people that he says the elect have obtained it and the rest were blinded. There's a difference in Israel between a true Jew and those who are just Jews in flesh, nationality-wise. Now, those who are true Jews that believed in their heart, they are the recipients of the promises that God made them. Come over with me to Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is sent out, and it's an amazing thing when you get a hold of this, is that when you got the true believing Jew who God looks at, they're going to receive their inheritance, their promise of God. The unbelieving part of the nation is cut off in blindness. They're also cut off in uncircumcision. Is that the end of the story? No. Because what you find out in Galatians, that God in his grace is through the gospel of the uncircumcision is offering all men, not just Jew, but Gentile as well, all men an opportunity to be saved. That's what's going on today. That's why today there's no difference between a Jew and Gentile. All have sinned, but all have another opportunity to be saved because of the gospel called the gospel of the uncircumcision. And that's what you read about in Galatians chapter 2. In verse, Paul talking about how his conversion started out, he goes to Jerusalem. He's communicating to them at Jerusalem what God sent him out to preach. Verse 6 says, but they who seem to be somewhat, and he talks about those who had authority, it ends by saying, they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Galatians 2, 6. Verse 7 says, but contrarywise. That is, those who are at Jerusalem, and what we're talking about is Peter, James, John, they're the true Jew, aren't they? They had a circumcised heart. Those are part of the believing remnant of Israel. They when Paul got to Jerusalem, they couldn't tell Paul something he didn't know. But verse 7 says, contrarywise. When Paul got to Jerusalem, he could tell them something. It says, but contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now, if you look at verses 7 and 8, real close there, that there is a gospel, good news to uncircumcision. Well, that means us Gentiles who are called the uncircumcision, God has some good news to us, doesn't he? And how about the Jews who are now considered uncircumcised? Is there good news for them? Yes, there is. They're the gospel of the uncircumcision. If their circumcision has become uncircumcision, they're just like us Gentiles. The cut-off people are from God. Paul comes and says, I got some good news for you. Gospel of the uncircumcision. Not the gospel of what God had promised to Israel and will give to Israel, but good news for us in this age of grace, who when it came time for God to judge the world, God in his grace was merciful and sent the Apostle Paul out to us to tell us the gospel of the uncircumcision. There's good news to us. It comes, verse 8, from the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter, according to verse 8, is apostle of the circumcision. You see that in verse 8? It says, for he that wrought, and that is God, working effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision. Now remember what we just learned. The circumcision, it doesn't mean just physical Jews, but the believing remnant of Israel. They're the circumcision. They're the true circumcision of God. The Jews who were not believers, they become uncircumcision, and Paul ministers to them as well as all the Gentiles. That's why you see Paul going to Jews, and we're going to see a verse of that in just a minute. But also, this tells you then that Peter is an apostle to the believing remnant of Israel, and Paul is the apostle of this age of grace, where God is extending all of us another opportunity to be saved. And so verse 9 says, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen. Now catch that. Peter, James, and John shake hands with Paul and say, Paul and Barnabas, you go to the who? You go to heathen. And we're going to go to